Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans, and we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper, now live from the Fan On Deck studios. This is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief on Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome in, Brewers fans. Indeed, it is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, as we get you ready for the second of three Brewers and Buccos at Miller Park. Tim Allen, and we've got a lot to get to, a lot to unpack here as the Brewers trying to chase down the St. Louis Cardinals for the division, and the Cardinals in the heat of battle down at Wrigley against the Cubs. Again, as you just heard, the Cardinals trail by one in that game in the eighth inning, sort of a back-and-forth game, but a lot of playoff and pennant race implications in the outcome of that baseball game. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell. We will hear from the Brewers minor league pitcher of the year in Aaron Ashby, and talk with Bart Winkler and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. A lot to get to. We'll get to the starting lineups in just a bit. The Brewers try to continue another September run into the playoffs. Today's matchup, Zach Davies opposite James Marvel, as the Brewers try to win 14 of their last 16. Right now, they've won 13 of their last 15, and they try to make it two in a row over the Pirates in this set. Last night's victory, a runaway win as the offense puts up double digits in a 10-1 victory. Chase Anderson, a deep start. The offense, well, they got going early. Lorenzo Cain got things going with a base hit in the bottom of the first inning. He then promptly stole second base, and one out later, he was there for Mike Moustakas.
And going to dump that one into left field. Cain got a good jump. He's going to try to score. And no throw in from left field. Moustakas, an RBI single. 1-0 Brewers in the first.
That's what I'm talking about. Get an early lead. Get these guys on their...
The Pittsburgh Pirates, well, it's a season of giving for them. At least it was last night. And we did see a bunch of gift runs and a couple of more. The first of all those gift runs, I should say, came about in still the bottom of the first inning with a couple of runners aboard and two out, and it was Hernán Pérez.
And the 0-2, and Pérez on the ground to short. Newman across the diamond, and a bad throw into the dugout. This is going to bring in two runs. Will go to second base, and a gift by the Pirates in the first inning. 3-0 Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's what happens. You know, you're playing not to lose, and those are the kind of mistakes that are made.
3-0 lead after one inning. They would take that all the way into the sixth inning, so still not a runaway through the bulk of that game last night, but Chase Anderson just outstanding. They do get three more. They played three more in the sixth as they get a couple of runners aboard for Keston Hira.
Hira shot up the middle, a base hit. Grandal around third. He'll score easily. Keston Hira with an RBI single, and it's 4-0 Brewers.
Already up with that four-run lead, Trent Grisham would replace Lorenzo Cain with a little bit of a sore ankle. He's back in that lineup. We'll have the lineups for you in just a second. Grisham would draw a walk there and come up with a big hit later on. That would load the bases still in this sixth inning. It would get a run the easy way. Well, not so easy for Manny Pena as he was hit by a pitch with the bases loaded.
Here's the 0-2. And that hit him. That hit him. And a run will score. And let's hope Pena's all right. Clutching at his left shoulder. It's going to be 5-0 Brewers, but at what price?
Yeah, you're looking for the knockout blow. Ben Gamel at the dish, bases loaded. Do you get it?
All runners take off, and Gamel takes ball four. He draws the walk. Another run is in. 6-0 Milwaukee.
Boy, how good has he been against lefties, particularly coming off the bench? I mean,
yeah, putting up a six-pack, a three-run first, a three-run sixth, as they send eight men to the plate in that sixth inning. As the Gamel walk plates that sixth run. And they weren't done yet. Six zip into the latter stages of that ball game last night. Chase Anderson, an outstanding performance. Six shutout innings on just three hits. And Devin Williams would surrender a run in the seventh inning. It's the only run the Buccos scored. The Brewers get that and more back. Bottom half, bases loaded. The aforementioned Trent Grisham.
Grisham, a base hit.
Yeah, a lot riding on the performance of the rookie Trent Grisham as the Brewers go up 9-1. They would tack on a run, a sacrifice fly from Manny Pena, and there's your final as Jake Faria and Corbin Burns, a scoreless inning each for those guys, and the Brewers 10-1 win. They plated three runs in that first inning. Manager Craig Counsell says that's a big, big boost for a ball club.
Look, I think in these games, playing with the lead is so big. It's huge against a team like this. You know, they do have their guys in the bullpen that you don't want to face. If you can play with the lead, you're not going to see those guys. So we played with the lead, and it's a big part of this series, I think.
And with the win, the Brewers now a season high 14 games over 500 at 84-70, winners of 13 of their last 15 games. And in the month of September, a 15-4 mark. September runs yet again here in the city of Milwaukee for the Brewers. It's time for game two now. Just eight games remaining in the 2019 championship season. Brewers and Pirates, let's get today's starting lineups.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on The Fan. Who's batting first? Here's today's look around the diamond with the starting lineup. Sponsored by Waukesha Sports Cards, your shopping headquarters for sports collectibles and authentic hand-signed memorabilia. Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com for a list of their upcoming autograph signings.
And we'll start, guys, with the visiting Pittsburgh Pirates, who are struggling this year, managed by Clint Hurdle. They come in with a 65-89 mark. That's last in the NL Central. Leading off is the shortstop, Kevin Newman. Batting second is the center fielder, Brian Reynolds, in the three spot. And playing second base is Adam Frazier. Cleaning up is the first baseman, Jose Ozuna. Batting fifth is the third baseman, Colin Moran. In the sixth spot is the catcher, Elias Diaz. Batting seventh, right fielder, Kevin Kramer. Batting eighth, the left fielder, Eric Gonzalez. And batting ninth and doing the pitching is right-hander James Marvel. He's making his third appearance in the big leagues through two starts. He is 0-2 with a 9.00 ERA. And faces the Brewers for the first time in his career. Once again for the Pirates here in Game 2, it's Newman, Reynolds, Frazier, Ozuna, Moran, Diaz, Kramer, Gonzalez, and Marvel. And now for your homestanding Milwaukee Brewers, who are managed by Craig Counsell, and they come in with that 84-70 mark. That's now second in the NL Central. Leading off is the right fielder, Trent Grisham. Batting second and doing the catching is Yasmani Grandal. Hitting third and playing third is Mike Moustakas. Cleaning up is the second baseman, Keston Hira. Batting fifth, manning left field, Ryan Braun. In the sixth spot, getting the start at first base, Eric Thames. Batting seventh, the center fielder, Lorenzo Cain. In the eighth hole, shortstop, Orlando Arcia. And batting ninth and doing the pitching is right-hander Zach Davies. He comes in with a 10-7 mark and a 3.70 ERA. He'll be making his 30th start of the year. And in his career against the Pirates, by the way, he has a 4-5 mark And Sports, a 4.70 ERA. Maybe Sports is the not the good word right there. That's in 13 career starts against the Pirates. Once again for the Brewers here in Game 2, Grisham, Grandal, Moustakas, Hira, Braun, Thames, Kane, Arcia, and Zach Davies. A stoic Craig Counsell tries to keep his team's feet firmly on the ground here. A lot of scoreboard watching. We're going to hear manager Craig Counsell here, and we'll get an update on that Cardinal-Cub game. But let's get today's scoop from the skipper.
This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. What's Craig Counsell have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's scoop from the skipper on The Fan.
Did you get a beer shower in the clubhouse for your mile step, like the players do?
No.
Managers don't qualify for those?
No.
It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Not even the coaches?
No. I got a congratulatory note from Mike Vassallo. Yeah. I still prefer Ned Yost.
I was actually.
I liked it because it was. I thought it was Mike like delivering what I wanted. It was perfect. Like that's what I wanted. You know, that's how I like it delivered.
How many people was it? And I apologize if you guys discussed it actually, to get Corbin in a game. You know, before the season's over, after all the hard work you did down there.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to get him in a game. It was good that he had success. And it's. It's a small. It's 11 pitches and it's one inning, but it's always look. It's always good to have success, and it's important to have success. And confidence is still an important part of the equation for all these guys. And it's a big part of having Major League Baseball is having confidence. And so, you know, when you get good feedback, it gives you confidence. And so, I'm really happy with it.
An inning like that, just if a situation presents itself down the road, something a similar situation, would you go to him again? Like, would you still consider him, I guess, available? Like, part
yeah,
of
no, he's yeah, he's yeah. We're not. He's still live for sure. He's live today. I wouldn't. Yeah, we'll still use him. It's not just a one inning and we're done. He's still available for sure. Yeah.
17
to
18 in a row.
It
seems like your bullpen's in pretty good shape. Do you think it is?
I think we're in good shape. Yeah, yesterday made us. We reset everybody. We got everybody a day off. That's been pitching a lot, so no concerns really, and should be able to manage 2 days. You know, obviously depending on what happens tonight, but. You know, there's an optimal way to get it, because I think getting guys 2 days off is even better than getting them one. So we got a chance to do that with a bunch of guys too.
How did Lowe come through? I mean, he always looked good in the game yesterday, but it can always be different when you wake up the next day.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's back in there. You know, he's sore, but he's good. That's what I would say, and that's probably how it's going to be the rest of the year.
What's the value of having that flexibility of having essentially two leadoff hitters? You know, Grisham or Lowe. And then when you're able to move the other one further down the lineup.
Yeah, we're just basing it on the pitcher really, and they've both done a good job up there, and so we're healthy again, which is healthy to get the guys out there. So we've been struggling with that for 3 weeks obviously, and getting Keston and Moose and Lowe and on there a consistent basis is and Ryan's feeling pretty good, so that's probably the best sign of anything. And then we can put the guys that you want in there, and how we line them up is just to try to protect us in the game and score the most runs.
Still
plan
to do Woody and Gio tomorrow.
Yeah.
Gio's pretty comfortable in that role, isn't he? I mean,
well, yeah. I thought the other day, whatever day that was, Tuesday. I thought that was a really impressive work by Gio. I mean, he had not done that in 10 years, And I think we always say, well, I even say, hey, just get outs, just get outs. We did change somebody's routine who's been doing the same way for 10 years. And so that he threw 3 scoreless innings the other day and handled that situation well was impressive. And it was important. I think it gives him confidence if that's what we ask him, either, you know, obviously we're going to ask him tomorrow, but in October if we ask that of him, it's a possibility that he's done it and had success doing it.
He just seems like he's probably the most adaptable to a role like that, right? Like changing routine.
Yeah, he is. The thing is that Gio's got great feel. I think sometimes he really does. He's got great feel. When he takes the mound, he's a baseball player. Really knows what he's doing, and the game never gets really too fast, very rarely gets fast on him, and so that usually makes you adaptable to a lot of situations, and that's what he showed.
That would give you 5 left handed guys on the bullpen. That's not something you've ever really had before.
Not
that I'm aware of.
No.
That's pretty rare.
Well, I mean, I would look at that as a pitching staff, not as a bullpen. Yeah.
He did say he told Woody after the game that it did feel like the adrenaline rush was like higher when you come in the middle of the game than at the start.
Yeah.
Where you kind of work into it. He said.
Yeah, I think something new is that being new probably adds to a little adrenaline. But I think he's right. I mean, if you do something for the first time, it's gonna pump up your adrenaline, right? Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little bit of both. There's just it's a different, but it's not the playoffs because there's a lot of off days in the playoffs, it's not because we have a lot of pitchers. It's because I feel like we have a lot of good pitchers.
Yeah. How's the turf? Is weather a factor in today's game? Let's get the Steins Garden and Home field and game conditions. Steins Premium Weed Control Plus Lawn Food is comparable to national brands for less. Formulated exclusively for Wisconsin lawns. Steins. Planted in Wisconsin, growing with you since 1946.
And those of you heading into Miller Park right now, good luck on winning a car fan appreciation weekend here. And tonight, somebody is going to win another car. This year at Miller Park. So good luck on that. And throughout the game, roof is going to be closed as shower activity in the area. Maybe a T-storm just kind of hanging around a little bit. Humid temperatures at 72. And again, a little bit later on, 10:30, when you get out of Miller Park, maybe dodging some rain showers there. About 51 minutes away from first pitch, Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates. Going at it from Miller Park as Zach Davies on the hill against James Marvel. We're going to talk about it. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Wendy's Big Show, and from Chuck and Winkler, it's Bart Winkler. Who are they scoreboard watching for? What are they leaning towards? And the update in Chicago as we look at that Cardinals-Cubs game. Cubs still maintain that one-run lead late in the ball game, and is that good or bad for the Milwaukee Brewers situation? We'll talk next here. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. Getting you ready for Brewers and Pirates with the Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the roundtable. Brought to you by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. What a run the Brewers are on here. Can they maintain it? And if you're scoreboard watching, well, you are noticing a... we'll see what happens in the bottom of the ninth inning, but the St. Louis Cardinals just took the lead in the top of the ninth inning at Wrigley. as Craig Kimbrell was out to try and close that game out for a one-run Cubs victory. And on two pitches, a home run by Yadier Molina and then Paul DeJong. And suddenly the Cardinals are up one run. Joe Maddon has been ejected in that game. And if the Cubs do go on to lose that ball game, they are going in the entirely wrong direction. They would lose their fifth consecutive game. Let's talk about it as you scoreboard watch and you take care of your business at home. And that's what the Brewers are going after. Roundtable with McCormick Law Offices as we welcome in from Chuck and Winkler. It's Bart Winkler. And from the afternoon show, Wendy's Big Show, it's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Let me start with you, Sparky. It is a scoreboard watching time, but do you find yourself torn as to who to even root for? Or are you as confused as we are?
No, it's horrible news. What you just said there, horrible. The worst case scenario for the Brewers was one of these two teams, go like 6-1 against the other these seven games or something crazy. Best case scenario was one team beats the other team 4-3. Because you wanted a chance to still win this division and still keep the Cubs at bay. And now instead, the Cubs are falling all over themselves because their closer stinks in Kimbrel. He's blowing two now for them. So you're making it very difficult for you to catch the Cardinals, and the Cubs can't do their job.
Bart, same thing to you. I mean, is there a way both these two teams could lose on the same day when they play each other? That's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be nice. I think with these games, for me, you're already rooting for the Brewers and you're already focused on what they have to do. And there's like 10 other teams that are still somewhat in it, or maybe five, but with the Cardinals and Cubs, I'm just, whatever the result is, I don't want to add any more stress. So whatever the result is there, but yeah, today maybe you root for the Cubs because if you still have a shot to win the division, you can avoid that one game wild card and at least know that your playoff life will be extended. So I think what Sparky said is right. One of these teams winning a bunch of these games is probably the worst case scenario.
Yeah, and you still have some division hopes in play here. Today, if this score stands, the Brewers would remain three back in the division with just seven games remaining. And moving forward, you do have to take care of your own house and beat the Pittsburgh Pirates. But if you assume that, then wouldn't there still be an outside shot, Stevie, if the Cubs do come back and win that ball game tomorrow with the Brewers' victory tonight and tomorrow? They could end up two games back with the six to play.
You're really getting yourself in a scenario where you cannot lose ground on any day to the Cardinals without it being over. I mean, if the Cardinals hold on and the Brewers stumble tonight against the Pirates, I mean, you're four back. You're pretty much done in the division probably. And that's kind of where you're at right now. You can only gain ground. You cannot afford to lose another game in this race.
Brewers scorching hot, Stevie. I'll stick with you right here. They've won 13 of 15. Without answering Craig Counsell, and that's the answer we get quite often, and you guys probably do too, both you guys on your shows. But without the answer being Craig Counsell, what do we attribute three consecutive Septembers to? Or let's just condense that window to last year and this year, because you do have quite a few of the same players. The answer is not Craig Counsell, but what is it about September that these guys roll, Stevie?
Chemistry, chemistry, chemistry. Good team chemistry. Everybody pulling in the same direction. Egos checked out the door. For instance, Gio Gonzalez loses a start to Woodruff. I think they're playing with his money. And now tomorrow he loses a start to Woodruff. Again, I think they're playing with his money. And instead of complaining about it or whatever may be done, he just shuts up. Goes out there and says, fine, I'll come in behind Brandon Woodruff and I'll figure it out. He pitched well the last time it happened. Hopefully does it again tomorrow. That's the type of stuff that you need. Everybody believing that this thing can get done and nobody trying to get their numbers at the end of a season and trying it to be about them versus the team.
Bart, same thing to you. The answer cannot be Craig Counsell. How are they doing this in two consecutive Septembers?
Well, the answer is Craig Counsell, so that's a good qualifier because he's got these guys to buy in. Or maybe it's Stearns, or maybe it's the owner, but somewhere along, or maybe it's each other, but somewhere along the way, these guys have bought in. And there's some guys, like a Trent Grisham or Tyrone Taylor, and these guys are fresh-faced, and, they just want to be a part of the action, whatever, or Tyler Austin, or David Freitas. These guys have no business even being up in that clubhouse right now. So they're all obviously going to buy in. But it is like the veterans, like a Gio Gonzalez, that when he buys in, it's easier for everyone else to buy in. And even like Chase Anderson and Zach Davies, guys that when they start, they would obviously like to go a little further, especially if they're pitching well. They don't want to come out after four innings. They don't want to come out after five innings. But they do it, and then they make way to the bullpen. And, you know, these guys have been buying in for a long time. Council's got the – since he started as a manager, he's the third-best manager in September since he started in 2015. And these guys have been buying in for him ever since. I remember a couple years ago, Zach Davies got sent down around the All-Star break. It was really just a procedural move because they wanted another bat because they could skip Davies' start. They didn't need him. But it was going to cost Davies some money. So I don't know what they do to let these – like if Gio's going to – if it's going to cost him money, I don't know what they tell these guys. I don't know if they get money on the side. I don't know how it works. But sometimes these guys' contracts are in the way and they still do what's best for the team. So how Craig Counsell and how the Brewers got everybody to buy into this crazy – you know, it helped that they did this last year too, but how they get these guys to buy in is a mystery, but it's working.
Yeah, it is. McCormick Law Offices Roundtable here on the On Deck Show, getting you ready for Brewers and Pirates. One more thing for both of you. I'll start with you, Stevie, that they're 5-5, and I should say they're 8-2 in their last 10. The interesting thing in their last 10 is that their offense is hitting just .213 as a team. However, their pitching is right around that 3 ERA, and we all know they're winning with pitching. Despite last night's double-digit victory for the offense, they got some gifts. And is that your biggest concern moving forward? Because that's the way I see it, is this offense somehow, some way has got to get on the board more.
Yeah. Do you realize the talent that they're putting out there right now? I mean, Tyler Austin, Corey Spangenberg, Manny Pena. Who else am I missing? Arcia.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
There are days where, you know, 6-9 wouldn't play for most major league teams, period. And you're starting them in a lineup in a division race for the playoffs. I mean, at some point they're going to realize who they are, you would think. And I think it was last week I mentioned they need to go dust off that magic carpet that the Packers used a few years ago and get on it for the remainder of the season, and it appears they found it because that's exactly what's happening. Spangenberg coming up a big hit. Tyler Austin had a big hit. That type of stuff all going, I don't know if it's magic carpet ride if you don't win the World Series, but at this point, they've way overproduced. For the amount of talent that they're playing with right now offensively, I don't know how much more you could ask offensively from this team.
Yeah, well, not only offensively, but just overall. I think all the challenges that have been going on, and we can sort that all out. All right, Stevie, I'll turn you loose there. Enjoy the game tonight. And, Bart, same thing. Where would be a concern if you've got one down the stretch here with 8 to play?
Oh, boy. I mean, I still don't know how this team's doing what they're doing. You have never – someone tweeted me this the other day when I was, you know, going through all my emotions about this team, because you've never seen a team – overproduce yet also underproduce at the same time, quite like this Brewers team.
That's interesting.
If you look at everybody that they've lost and the guys that have struggled, and when I say lost, I'll say either like Corbin Burns. They obviously didn't lose him, but he wasn't what he was supposed to be, and it was nice to see him get back in there last night. But Travis Shaw, not what he's supposed to be. Jeremy Jeffress, who I did still see his seafood truck out just off of Water Street, so I think he's still in town. Joey Chacin, who was the opening day starter, and is gone. So you've had all these guys, now Yelich is hurt. You've had all these guys underperform, but you are getting guys to step up. Like I mentioned, Tyler Austin, he had a big home run that night. And Ryan Braun came through again. And Lorenzo Cain, who people are, you know, he's got to be producing more. Well, he hits two home runs this week. So it's only if that fades away, but it just seems like there are so many guys that don't want it to fade away. I mentioned this too the other day. You almost forget that Christian Yelich is out for the year.
Yeah.
You know, when you're watching these games, you almost think like, oh, Yelich is just having an off day, or Yelich is just, he's not in there today, because this team has been playing so well, and if not better, and I think they're all rallying around the fact that they are counted out again and they can do what they did last year. So the only worry would be, because they're like playing with house money at this point, is that wears off somehow. But again, Craig Counsell and these guys, they don't seem to want to let this end.
It's a fun ride, and it continues tonight. Catch Bart Winkler, Chuck and Winkler, Monday morning. A lot of Brewers and Packers conversation Monday. We'll know with a Brewers off day on Monday, Bart, that just a six-pack of games left at that point. It'll be 3 in Cincinnati, 3 in Denver, and we'll get some clarity as to what's going on. Bart, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Tim. You too.
Yeah, it's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Bart Winkler. Evan, let's get an update in Chicago, shall we?
Yeah, we're heading to the bottom of the ninth right now. Carlos Martinez is on to close out the game for the Cardinals.
Yeah, and we'll see in that one-run lead for the Cardinals. If the Cubs can come back and win that game, I'm not saying I'm for it or against it, but if they do, the Brewers would find themselves potentially after tonight's victory, if they get that 2 back in the division. So a lot of moving parts here, and we haven't even touched on the Washington Nationals, who are in play tonight against the Marlins, and the Brewers trail those guys by just one game for the first wild card spot. This is Pennant Race Baseball in Milwaukee. Again, Brewers fans, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Bart Winkler join me on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
He was a fourth round draft choice in 2018's amateur draft, and he is the minor league pitcher of the year. His name is Aaron Ashby. We're going to hear from him next. That's all part of the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. Tim Allen getting you ready for Brewers and Pirates.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch and dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Getting you ready for Brewers and Pirates game 2 of this 3-game weekend set. And a huge crowd last night, guys. 18th sellout of the season, 43,390. And look for the same tonight. And be careful getting in there as you dodging some raindrops right now. But fan appreciation night, in which a ton of prizes are given away tonight. Good luck on winning that car or a number of other prizes that the organization is going to appreciate the fans here. And I would imagine by the end of the night, the 19th sellout of the 2019 season. Tim Allen getting you ready for this ball game. Aaron Ashby was announced as the Brewers minor league pitcher of the year just a few days ago. The left-hander was drafted in the fourth round of the 2018 draft, and that was out of Crowder College in Missouri. Nice job on the scouting department there. This year, he split time at both levels of A-ball, and he finished 5-10 with a 3.5 ERA, 24 games total, 23 of those being starts. And nice to hear from the future, or at least a piece of it, as we go down to Miller Park.
Did Flanny give you the news that you were pitcher of the year?
Yeah, he called me when I just kind of got done working out, and I was just sitting in my car, you know, kind of starting it up or whatever. Then I was getting a call from Tom, and then I answered it. I didn't know what it was going to be about, and then he told me the news, and I was just kind of like taken away. I was like, wow, that's really cool. Kind of like my voice started to shudder a little bit. I was very excited.
I mean, you probably can't expect to get that kind of honor, but tell us a little bit about the season that you were able to put together and just what you were most happy with, how you performed.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, kind of going into the season, I was very excited, and to be a part of the, you know, a full season roster and up there in Appleton. And then my first couple starts in Appleton were a little rough, and I went and had a meeting with the coaching staff, and it was like smooth sailing from there. We got some things figured out, so after that, it was a lot of fun.
What were those adjustments you feel you were able to make?
Yeah, I think just I was putting a lot of pressure on myself. And as they kind of took that pressure away and was like, hey, you know, just go out there and do what you know how to do. So after that, it was really easy and really fun.
Is your slider your pitch?
Yeah, some people call it a curveball. Some people call it a slider. I call it a slider. But when it's working, it's one of my favorite pitches to throw, for sure.
You have some pretty hard on left-handed hitters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you share about the experience of you guys had the opportunity to play play here at Miller Park, and just what that experience was like to get that so early in your career to play in a major league stadium?
Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome. I know the team was just so excited because we drove up from a road trip, I believe it was in Clinton. After Clinton, I think we drove up here, and you know, in the locker room, it was no one was, you know, upset about it. Everyone was happy. Everyone was smiling the whole entire day. It was a really fun experience.
Do you start to picture yourself like, this could be my home stadium?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this stadium's unbelievable. It's, you know, I've been to a few, not all the major league stadiums, but a few of them, and this is definitely my favorite. It's beautiful here.
So you're Andy, actually. So you're the son of his brother?
Yes.
What's your dad's name?
Curtis. Yeah.
So how much were you around Major League Baseball with your uncle being a Major League player?
You know, not too terribly much as a younger kid, as far as him being, obviously he was, you know, on the road pitching and stuff like that. But later in my life, you know, he came around a little bit more after he had retired and everything. And so he taught me a little bit about what I know, but, you know, I think it came from a lot of different people in my life.
Can't hurt to have a former major league player giving you advice though,
yeah,
right?
not at all. Yeah,
what are you gonna, so now you're off, right? You said no instruction, no, yeah. Arizona, you just taking
it easy, starting to get back into the swing of things a little bit. It's kind of weird just not playing baseball at all, so starting to work out and just stay active and stuff like that.
What's your favorite off-season thing? Are you a hunter, fisher, or do
you golf? I've been golfing a lot.
Have you?
Yeah, I have.
Are you good?
I'm all right. Sometimes. Sometimes.
You play left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed. It's weird. Yeah, I have no idea.
We just see that all the time.
I know.
Lefties play right and righties play.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Even Bryce Terang, my roommate, he, you know, left-handed hitter, obviously, and we get up to the tee box and he starts swinging right-handed. I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, I just golf right-handed, so just weird.
When you were up there in Appleton, did you get to slip away to Whistling Straits or any of those courses?
No, we did not. I golfed at Chasta and another place, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of great golf courses
there. Yeah, there's a lot of beautiful golf courses here in Wisconsin.
Are there any pitchers up here that you enjoy watching or that you, see maybe similar stuff or similar ways?
Yeah, I think I enjoy watching Corbin pitch actually a lot. I think I like how like smooth his delivery is and everything. And also Devin Williams, he was my catch partner in Instructs last year. So just like seeing him on the mound is really cool to watch. And I love to watch him throw the ball, really.
He must have been excited when he got it. Oh, I was so excited.
Yeah, it was awesome. I kept, you know, going home after the games and like putting on the Brewers game just to like see if he's gonna get in or not, and then we finally saw him get in. It was really cool.
He's from right down the road. He's from
St. Louis. Yeah.
City. You never crossed.
No, nope, never crossed paths until the Brewers. Yeah.
And it's his birthday.
It is his birthday, isn't it? Yeah, that's awesome.
Did you bring him anything?
I haven't got to see him yet. I told him to come out here and talk to me when he's got some free time. So I'll be seeing him later. Yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations.
All right, there he is, the Brewers Minor League Pitcher of the Year, Aaron Aspy, and looking forward to see him pitching at Miller Park and in the big leagues sometime really soon. Fourth round pick in June of 2018's draft. Drafted by the scouting department and the farm director, Tom Flanagan, with a couple of words.
We know you had some choices. Tell us about what helped Aaron stand out for you among some of the other pitchers you guys were.
Yeah, it was a crowded field on the pitching side this year. I think what in the end separated Aaron from the group just marginally was the things that we feel that a pitcher can control, he excelled at. He missed bats, good strikeout rate. We saw the trend line definitely going up with him as the season went on, and that's not a slight against some of the other pitchers we had. There was Dylan File, Trey Schupak, Noah Zavalis. I mean, there were a number of guys that were definitely in the picture. Max Lazar was a little bit light on innings, but I think in the end, Aaron, you know, jumping, you know, Wisconsin, putting up the numbers he did there, continuing it at Carolina, I think it was just a big year all around for Aaron.
I know when you look at the people that rank your prospects, he's usually ranked in the top 10 or thereabouts, so yep. He's highly thought of, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got that factor where when you watch guys pitch, you can look at the stuff and you can look at the delivery and everything, and he checks all those boxes, but he's kind of got that. The way he goes about it, he's a little bit advanced for a first full season pitcher. He alters his leg lift, messes with hitters' timing. He does a lot of things that, you know, you see in some guys, but, you know, he's kind of got some special attributes that should help him as he continues to climb up the system.
What does that say about the depth overall, Tom? You know, you said like there were multiple choices sure. you could have made there. Just overall, how you feel about the depth of the farm system?
Absolutely. Right now? With pitching, you can never, you certainly, the old cliche, you never have enough. We feel really good about the arms that are coming and the guys that have broken through the last, you know, 2 years or so here at least. But I think just, you know, for our guys in the office and our staff to kind of look at the arms coming, that certainly bodes well. We got some young guys up here that I think haven't really totally scratched the surface of what they're going to do. So they'll get better and then hopefully be able to supplement that group with guys from below. Yeah, Alec was another one that threw really well. He's kind of a breakout year for him in the way. His velo jumped up a little bit and had a good year at AA for the Shuckers, led him, you know, well into the postseason again.
Yeah, there he is, Farm Director Tom Flanagan down at Miller Park, just giving you a little glimpse and some comments about the future, but now we're talking about the present. And an update in Chicago as the Cardinals just close it out to beat the Cubs. The Cubs have now lost 5 consecutive games and a blown save from Craig Kimbrell. And be careful what you wish for, because a lot of Brewers fans were saying sign Kimbrell. And that did not work out. That has not worked out thus far for the Chicago Cubs. He comes in and on 2 pitches, back-to-back home run, surrenders the lead and loses the ball game. Brewers with a victory tonight. If you just want to keep tabs on inventory here, with a victory tonight, they will be 3 back in the division, trailing the Cardinals, and 3 over the Cubs in that second wild card spot, and inching a little bit closer to postseason baseball in Milwaukee once again. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. Tim Allen getting you ready for Game 2, Brewers and Pirates.
Some of the Brewers are hot, while some are not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not? Brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com.
It's about 20 minutes away from first pitch. Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates as they go at it. Game 2 of the weekend set. Fan Appreciation Weekend continues. A ton of big-time prizes tonight to be had at Miller Park. I would assume their 19th sellout when they announce the attendance coming up at around the 5th or 6th inning. And after the last pitch, of course, you're going to make the switch. We're talking Brewers baseball, and we'll sort out some more inventory as, oh boy, game show should and will be fun tonight. Presented by the Milwaukee Admirals, we are hashtag Admirals50. Cub fans not feeling good about their situation right now, not only currently, but throughout the last and final week plus of the season here, as they are just seeing their playoff hopes just dissipate and dissipate very quickly. They've lost 5 consecutive games. Now, I'm not going to cry a river over that, guys. You know how I feel about the Chicago Cubs. But I still think the division's in play, and the Brewers first and foremost have to take care of their own house, and that is continuing to win baseball games at a clip in which surprised a lot of us, 13 of their last 15 games, guys. And just let that settle in. It's like not losing for a half a month or more of baseball. And it's just a wild September run here, guys. So it's a lot of fun, and we understand that. Okay, so if they win tonight, the Brewers, that is, they would then be 3 games behind the division-leading St. Louis Cardinals. 3 games over the Cubs, as the Cubs are about ready to relinquish that chase position to the New York Mets, and they got to start watching their backs on that. Washington Nationals, just a game over the Brewers, coming into play for the wild card first position. If the Brewers take care of business tonight and tomorrow, I'm just throwing out there the scenarios, and the Cubs finally trip themselves into a win tomorrow, the Brewers would find themselves 2 games out of another division title with 6 games remaining. And again, we're pipe dreaming here just a little bit, but it's scenarios that could play out. Pick up a game in the Red Series somehow, some way, as the Cardinals are playing the Diamondbacks. Pick up a game somehow, some way in the Rockies series as the Cardinals go back at it against the Cubs. You folks may find yourself in another game 163, this time against the St. Louis Cardinals, to determine the National League Central again. Back-to-back years, a 163. First against the Cubs, second against the Cardinals. Hey, stranger things have happened, but you got to take care of business, and that's a ball game tonight in about 15 minutes. Hey, the Brewers are winning at that clip. In their last 10 games, they're 8-2. However, a .213 batting average in the span of those games and a .303 earned run average in the last 10 games, and hats off to Chris Hook and that pitching staff for getting this thing done. To put that into perspective, the Chicago Cubs' last 10 games, they are 5-5 with a, let's see here, .272 batting average and a 5-5 mark. So once we complain about offense, well, they're getting it, but they're not winning. Their ERA is 3.17, and they are just losing at a clip, which is tossing their season to the side of the road here. St. Louis Cardinals in their last 10, 6-4 mark, a .217 batting average, a .290 ERA. So the Brewers 3.03 ERA their last 10, Cardinals .290. Cubs 3.17, but you see the difference in the batting averages. Brewers and Cardinals not very good with a collective batting average, .217, .213 respectively, and then the Cubs a .272. So it's not all about offense in this game. Craig Counsell, 400th victory yesterday, trails the leader, Phil Garner, at 563 victories all-time for the Brewers. Then Ned Yost at 457. And then Tom Treblehorn, 422 victories. So next year, Craig Counsell will surpass a couple of managers on the win-loss total. Mike Moustakas, you think he's hot. He's been coming up with some big hits, right? Here's how the numbers can lie to you. The last 7 days, Moustakas just hitting 200, a 5-for-25 mark with a couple of home runs, and those home runs were big for sure. Trent Grisham, same thing, also hitting 200, 4-for-20, no homers, 5 knocked in. That's in his last 7 days. Trent Grisham, 10 of his last 20 ABs has punched out. Lorenzo Cain, 5 for his last 23. That's enough of the bad numbers. Let's get you some good numbers. Drew Pomeranz, the left-hander, in 3 appearances in his last week, encompassing 3 2/3, no runs allowed with a save. In fact, I'll go you one better. Drew Pomeranz, in the last month, 13 appearances, has an ERA of just 1.35. All right, Brewers and Pirates getting ready to fire up game 2 of this 3-game set. Again, scoreboard watching, the Nationals do lead early in the game over the Marlins. And already in the books, the Cardinals, off another blown save by Craig Kimbrell, beat the Cubs. Cubs have lost 5 consecutive games, and the Cardinals on the verge of a 4-game sweep against the Chicago Cubs. Brewers have to take care of their own business, and we'll sort all of that out after the last pitch as you make the switch. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Thanks to Dan Plucker down at Miller Park. We do appreciate a nice job down there doing pregame. And also Evan Heffelfinger, yes, that is his name, our producer-engineer for the On Deck show. Again, it's Brewers and Pirates, and Zach Davies trying to hold his team in a ball game, buying time for offense. Grisham, Grandal, and Moustakas, the top 3 in the order. Keston Hira, Braun, and Eric Thames, the middle portion, Kane, Arcia, and Davies. After the last pitch, make the switch. We'll talk to you then, Brewers fans. Enjoy the game, everybody. Brewers and Pirates, we got you ready here with the Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.